Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome back into the bullpen. Hour number two kicking off now. Sean Mapes, Andrew Carlson, myself, Brian McDonald, and our man Josh behind the glass. If you have any thoughts on what we talked about with the Astros or this Texans conversation about to happen now, call us on the HRMP listener line at 713-780-3776. So we heard in that last segment from Cole Thompson. Again, thank you to Cole for joining us. You can hear him weekdays, I believe, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. on SportsMap Radio, which I think should play over the 92.5 airwaves.
It does,
at that
yeah.
time. Yeah, I can't remember exactly when it kicks over to ESPN National, but I believe it's after Cole's show's over. Anyhow, we asked him, basically, is this C.J. Stroud-Davis Mills quarterback competition real? Is it Fugazi? Like, what's going on here? I've seen that I don't know what the exact split is. I don't know if anyone actually has, it's 65, 35. I don't know if anyone has that. But I know I worked with Patrick on Wednesday, and he was very up in arms, like Patrick's up in arms about most things. But he was very up in arms that any rep that went to, in his words, Davis sucks Mills, was a complete waste of time because it all should go towards the guy you're actually going to start, C.J. Stroud. And I definitely get that mindset. Like, if you are going to start C.J. Stroud week one, I mean, Sean, shouldn't he have every first-team rep to get him prepared? Or how do you feel about this quote-unquote quarterback competition?
I think at this point, like, it's not do or die with every single rep is, like, a rep that is lost to the sands of time. And C.J. Stroud will never be as good as he possibly
He's
could be.
He's never getting that time back, Sean.
Yeah, because
he's never getting it back.
He won't have a chance to throw a 5-yard out to Dalton Schultz at any other time this season. I think that for whatever you're losing in the, because it is like a 50-50 rep split, it seems like maybe a 60-40 between these two guys. I think just the even if it's not like 100% serious, just the competition, just the idea of like, hey, you're just going to have to earn this. And like Cole said, really just don't lose it. Like don't suck out here. Just be a rookie quarterback. Be what we thought. We are drafting at number two, and you'll start week one. I think for the most part, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and for me, all we're asking him to do here is be better than Davis Mills, right?
It's not
like
a high bar.
We are not setting the bar extremely high here, C.J. Stroud. All you've got to do is be better than Davis Mills in a practice sort of scenario. And given the Davis Mills that we've seen over the past two seasons, that should not be awfully difficult to do. And if it's something that he's not capable of doing, then I think that's a much more worrying conversation to have. But from all the reports we've seen at training camp and everything we've heard, like, it seems like C.J. Stroud, by and large, has been better than Davis Mills. It's not like he's been leaps and bounds better, but Davis Mills is going on his third year in the NFL, so you wouldn't expect C.J. Stroud, with that sort of head start that Davis Mills has, to be leaps and bounds better than him. So I think that everything should be relatively on schedule, and D'Amico's the type of head coach where he's going to make everybody earn every single like rep that they're going to get on the playing field. And that's just the sort of culture that he's going to want to set. And he's not going to make it any different for any sort of position. And given that that's the type of culture and the type of locker room that he wants to set up, you shouldn't be upset at him for that.
Especially the fifth day of training camp.
Exactly.
Like, this is if we're having this conversation after the second preseason game, then if it's still a 50-50 and they're still going with the, he's going to have to earn it, whatever. I don't expect them to formally announce who the starting quarterback will be for the Ravens game until like that Monday of Ravens week, week one. But I feel like we'll know pretty easily that it's going to be C.J. Stroud based off the rep split going more and more in his direction as we get closer to that day.
Yeah, I think you could really apply this to almost anything coaches say in the media. It's better to grade them by what they do than what they say. And like you mentioned, Sean, like my reply to PC in the moment was like, I think we could get an announcement as soon as like maybe a couple days before that first preseason game. And even if we don't, I think the actions of what they put on the field will tell us.
You can also read into, well, is C.J. Stroud starting?
If C.J. Stroud takes two turns through the offense and then sits the rest of the game, that's what starters do in the first preseason game. If he's getting what starters, like second game, if he, goes a quarter and a half, two quarters, and then Davis Mills is in the third and fourth, okay, that shows you the QB1 portion of the preseason game is going to C.J. Stroud. I think And Andrew, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like it mostly is just PTSD from Texans fans,
exactly,
who were around when it was a quote unquote quarterback competition between Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson, and Tom Savage somehow actually won
fair and square.
Who's to say? Obviously, one half into the game, that first game against Jacksonville, where the Texans got absolutely destroyed, Deshaun Watson comes in. It was a great day. I broke my tooth at Buffalo Wild Wings. I had to watch Tom Savage before Deshaun Watson came in. But isn't this just kind of like July, like fear season, I guess, from Texans fans? This is all going to work itself out, right?
You would hope that it would all work itself out. And I think you're 100% right from the perspective of Texans fans have had a very hard time trusting this franchise, and with good reason. From the Bill O'Brien era to the Jack Easterby era, basically everything the Texans have been over the last 6 or 7 years, it is hard to say that you trust this franchise implicitly, right? They have given you no reason to. But that being said, this is a new era of Texans football, and they seem to be operating from a place of competence. And assuming that they are operating from a place of competence, then you should have no doubt that you know what the Texans are going to be able to do is that they're going to be able to say, hey, you know what? C.J. Stroud, we drafted him number 2 overall, and because of that fact, because he's the more talented quarterback, he's going to be the one that earns the starting job and gets out there. So, because of the fact that D'Amico Ryans is in charge and Texans fans should trust him, I understand that you've got the PTSD from years past, but at some point we need to be able to move past that and move beyond that and say, we trust the people that are running the franchise. Now, look, if they go out there and they run Davis Mills out there, then and just because of the fact that C.J. Stroud hasn't, quote-unquote, earned the job yet with what he's done in preseason, then at that point I think it's fair to start questioning what this front office head coach combination is doing. But until we get to that bridge, I don't think we need to fear about crossing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And let's hear from that person that I think we all trust more than Bill O'Brien, D'Amico Ryans, with a clip here talking about the quarterback rotation.
Yeah, the quarterbacks will rotate as we did in the spring. Nothing has changed there.
Do you anticipate, how long do you anticipate rotating?
We'll see. We'll see. When the time comes for us to declare someone as a starter, we'll do that when it's the right time for us.
Yeah, I just think, we talked about the PTSD from Tom Savage to Deshaun Watson. This is also the same franchise, again, different guy under control as the head coach. But we had to hear about in the opening for Hard Knocks in 2015 about no one respects our quarterbacks, and those quarterbacks were Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer. You're right. We didn't respect them, Bill O'Brien. So I think it is. I think it's just hard to remove yourself from the mindset of what the Texans have done to us since, 2015. It's just...
2002.
Yeah, exactly. Draft David Carr and then give him no offensive
since
line.
Day one. There's no trust that's been built up by this.
Yeah, you're right, Sean. This goes back... God, this goes back older than some of the people listening to the show right now. But, it's just... I think it's just going to be hard to remove ourselves from that mindset. But I do think, if we trust D'Amico Ryans, we also just have to trust he gets this right.
Right.
I think there's no reason to look. There's nothing you would have saw on film from Davis Mills that would have led you to the place where, he should start over C.J. Stroud. So if this is just kind of a defensive-minded coach, an old-school, tough mindset, make him earn it. I'm fine with that as long as we end up, September, week one, C.J. Stroud starting.
Also, a year one coach. That I think that is also true. Part of it. Of he is trying to set a culture, like Andrew said, of competition. And the rookie quarterback is just not exempt from that.
Nothing's going to be handed to you.
Yeah, if they had year 15 Peyton Manning, I'm guessing he wouldn't be in a quarterback competition.
Yeah.
But they don't. You're going to have to – I'm sorry, you're going to have to split reps again for the first 5 days of training camp. This is not – I'd be more worried if C.J. Stroud was seemingly even with Davis Mills too. All reports seem to suggest that C.J. Stroud's considerably better than Davis Mills.
Yeah.
That's also a good thing. So not only are you asking D'Amico Ryans to, make the logical or the smart choice, you're also to be no, pick the worst guy as you're also being illogical and making a bad choice. Also pick the worst quarterback. So I do think that this is a lot of,
much
training
to do
camp,
about nothing.
Training late July training camp.
Yeah, it's July 30th. Yeah, I mean, you made the point early in this segment. It's day 5 of training camp. I don't know what the point of concern for you guys would be, like what at what point you would start to be concerned. I guess the point I would be concerned if he actually names Davis Mills the starter.
Yeah.
Until that point.
If at any point this preseason he names him the starter, then I'll be a little bit concerned.
Or if Davis Mills is the first quarterback out in a preseason game. It gets like the QB1 type of situation. That might start, red flags are starting to go up.
One drive and sits. Doesn't play the third preseason game.
I mentioned earlier the Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett situation. I'll never... This is speaks to the PTSD that era gave me, but I'll never forget. Like, there was the first preseason game of that year when it was Hoyer, the Mallett quarterback competition. Mm. Mallett or Brian Hoyer came out and just threw like an easy little slant pass. Whoever the wide receiver was took it to the house, and that was his night. It's like, that's going to be what we grade him on. He just a little slant route. Like, hey, look, one for one, touchdown. He wins the job. I don't want to see that from Davis Mills.
Speaking of the Hoyer-Mallett quarterback competition, the great Hoyer-Mallett competition.
Yeah, I mean, we all remember it.
Yes. CJ Stroud.
Legendary.
Set your alarm. That's all I got to say. Set two alarms.
That was an amazing moment of Hard Knocks. I hope at some point we get to see Aaron Rodgers not show up on time. This when I guess Hard Knocks will start in about a week here, won't it? Something like that. Anyway, we got to get out, get to break. Coming up next on the ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5 Bullpen, we're going to get into the Jonathan Taylor demand of a trade and the running back crisis, quote-unquote, going on here in the NFL with all these poor running backs not making any of the money.
ESPN 97.5.com. I'm hungry.
I'm going hungry.
Going hungry!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back into the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5, now with far less whistles than the last segment.
Same amount.
I actually know that Andrew doing that. Maybe it was Andrew. Maybe it wasn't the satellite kicking, and yes. I don't know.
But now we're at the same amount of whistles in both segments. So glad we can check that off. Yeah.
More whistles per hour than any other show here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. That is a bullpen guarantee.
That's a selling point if I've ever heard one right there.
I'm going to call up the sponsors and make sure we get all of the live endorsements. All right, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Andrew Carlson can be found on Twitter at Carlson Radio. Sean Mapes at Sean A. Mapes. And I am very unprofessional on Twitter at Sacked by BMAC, Brian McDonald. Our man Josh behind the glass, he can be found on Twitter at IMJChevy. So Jonathan Taylor, feels like Texans news because the Texans would play him twice. It's in the division. But Jonathan Taylor, running back for the Indianapolis Colts, has demanded a trade. And Sean and I were talking before the show. It feels very different than like a trade demand in the NBA, whereas, you know, we all assume that the second someone trades or demands a trade, other than Kevin Durant, I guess, but the second anyone demands a trade in the NBA, like we just assume, okay, they're going to get moved. A running back in the NFL is like, maybe he gets moved. I mean, I'll start with you on this, Andrew. When you saw this news that Jonathan Taylor is demanding a trade, I mean, is your assumption they actually will make the move? I mean, what are your thoughts on this Jonathan Taylor demand?
Absolutely not. I mean, so what sort of leverage does Jonathan Taylor have right now? Because to me, it doesn't seem like it's really anything, if I'm going to be completely honest with you. I feel for the running backs. I feel for the plight of the position at this moment in time, given the amount of work that they put in and the amount of reward that they get out of it doesn't really seem equal. But like in Jonathan Taylor's position, I'm sorry, but the new CBA, it's basically impossible to hold out. It's not like he has made enough money in his career up to this point where, you know, what is it, $50,000 a day if you hold out? Like,
that's
going to be a serious chunk of change for someone like Jonathan Taylor, who is still on his rookie contract. Like, as much as I would love to see an NFL where the running backs are rewarded for the production that they have on the field currently, that's just not the current state of the league. And until something changes in either the fundamentals of the CBA and the way that running backs are given their contracts, or the way that the game is played, that the running backs are all of a sudden valued at a point where their production meets their actual value off the field. Like, I just don't understand what Jonathan Taylor wants or can do from this position, because the Colts hold all the cards And there is zero reason for them to even think for a second about granting this request.
Yeah, part of the report, Sean, is that Colts owner Jim Irsay admitted on Thursday that there's been no contract talks, they haven't even taken place, and they're not even exchanging numbers. So, I mean, a part of this is made even more difficult for Jonathan Taylor because he slipped into the second round, so he doesn't even have, like, first-round money that he could rely upon and maybe have saved up in the bank. And I think this also, and let me know what you think about this, Sean, but it feels like Jonathan Taylor has even less leverage because it's not like exactly like the Colts think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. Like, if this is a Super Bowl contender, I could see maybe, okay, let's make the running back happy so we keep this contender on the field. I mean, they're starting probably a rookie running kind of a rookie running back in Anthony Richardson on the field. So, they're probably expected to win, what, 4 or 5 games? Like, why would they break the bank for Jonathan Taylor right now?
Yeah, exactly. It's something where it's like, well, you're going to have to show up, and when you show up, we'll hand you the ball, and you'll do that. That there really is, like, zero leverage. There's very little leverage that basically any position has in the new CBA, especially in the NFL, with how sitting out and holding out, like, how much they can take away from you.
I don't think you'll ever see another Le'Veon Bell under the CBA.
And they're not allowed, because before they would fine you when you sat out or when you held out, and then they would pay you back when you came back. Now,
instantly,
they cannot pay you back. They are barred from paying you back. So now it's just a situation of like, well, sorry. You're going to have to be upset while you're carrying this ball. And also, we're probably going to give it to you 300 times this year because we have a rookie quarterback.
I just want to see photos of Sean Taylor sad carrying the ball. Just, he's got this huge frown
Jonathan
on
Taylor?
It. Jonathan Taylor, yeah. Just has a frown. I don't know. For some reason, he's like sad carrying the ball, just like moping like, while he's running the ball down the field.
Charlie Brown and Peanuts.
Yes, exactly.
with a ball in his hand.
And I find this quote from Colts owner Jim Irsay hilarious, but the running backs just, especially a guy that was in the second round, the team's not any good. They just don't have any leverage because running backs, maybe more so than any other position, maybe there's another position that you could put into this mix as well, but they just feel, even for a guy as special as Jonathan Taylor, they just feel replaceable. So this quote from Colts owner Jim Irsay is just chef's kiss. It's just amazing. Quote, if I die tonight and Jonathan Taylor is out of the league, no one's going to miss us. The league goes on. We know that. The National Football League rolls on. It doesn't matter who comes and who goes, and it's a privilege to be a part of it. It's just Jim Irsay is, I don't want to say national treasure, but he's very entertaining.
How many drinks in do we think Jim Irsay was when he made this?
I mean,
just drinks?
Just drinks?
Well,
yeah,
might be a line or two. That's fair. Jim Irsay is one that's known to partake in the substances from time to time.
Limiting him to any substance.
I just love the 0-60 nature of taking a contract talk to, if I die tonight, no one's going to miss us.
Yeah. Like, who cares about money?
Okay, well, I guess if your quarterback dies tonight, no one will miss them in the grand scheme. I mean, what is he even saying there?
Yeah, no, Jim Irsay can tweet. Let me tell you.
He's
a prolific
tweeter. Before you get into those tweets, Jim Irsay has to have some epic breakup texts, doesn't he? Like, if a girl broke up with him in his past, he seems like the type of guy that would have an amazing text chain.
Also, completely unhinged.
Oh,
he seems
my God.
Like he also would text you, like, 17 times in a row without a text back, and each time
is he a drunk texter, do you think?
Oh, 100%.
He's already had.
Not 100%.
It's out there. Sean's going to read us some of them in a minute.
Dude, do you want me to get
Let's get to the Jim Irsay hits. Jim Irsay.
February 12th, 2011. Quote, harder drugs, purple juice, ecstasy, cocaine, crystal meth, .. Will you do or be around it tonight? And do you worry about your friends that venture there?
What?
Excuse me?
This is an owner of an NFL franchise.
8:53 p.m.
It's early.
Can I wait till midnight?
Yeah, no, that's the best part.
Hey, Jim Irsay is going hard in the pregame, man. He's starting early, and he's starting hard, apparently.
Man, the apps at Applebee's hit hard, and he was feeling himself.
Jim Irsay.
You got some more gold there, Sean?
10:12 p.m., July 31st, 2011.
A little later.
There ain't much to country living. Sweat, the P word for urine, the J word for the other stuff that comes out.
Whoa.
In blood.
Huh?
Sweet Home Alabama, play that dead band song, .. Play it all night long,
Okay,
dot,
hold
dot.
On. Jim Irsay is the son of a billionaire who was, what, given the team by his dad? Yeah, what does he know about country living?
Sweat? Yeah.
Come on, don't tell me. Look,
sweat,
I know I'm working with two non-wrestling fans, but he can't cut the Dusty Rhodes promo about being a son of a plumber and hard times being put on him. You're a son of a billionaire.
Who?
Exactly, yeah, I know. I need RJ back.
Jim Irsay, February 14th, 2011, Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay, so this is going to be great.
This is an appropriate time for this kind of tweet. This is at 2:30.
Is he thirst trapping?
2:32 a.m. On Valentine's
Day. Seeing his feelings on this one a little bit?
A time and place where all of us are familiar
little
with.
Little Marvin's Room action here?
There's purple juice, purple berries, purple drink. These are all different things.
Tell me he put an A.
He put an A.
Oh, yes. Thanks.
This man owns a more successful, one of the most NFL successful NFL franchises. Not just a franchise. Like one, I mean,
yeah,
he had Peyton Manning, but still.
There's been a Super Bowl win under his watch.
Tweeter, this is also from December 2010. Tweeter and the Monkey Man were hard up for cash. They stayed up all night selling cocaine and hash to an undercover cop who had a sister named question mark.
Was that an attempt at a poem?
I didn't see how it ended, and so it said named and then just ends with a question. Like, it just named? That's how it ends.
Someone needs to publish a book with Jim Irsay tweets.
October 20th, 2011. I'm a sweet and tender hooligan.
Keeps going. Keeps going.
Josh, what do you think of that tweet? Sweet and tender hooligan. Does Jim Irsay strike you as a sweet and tender hooligan?
He beat me, B-Mac.
Okay.
He beat me.
February 9th, 2012, .. Time is short and the days are sweet. And passion rules the arrow that flies.
See, wow. That's a man in love right there.
You could have told me that was the text he sent back to Jonathan Taylor after he demanded a contract.
8:55 a.m.
Oh, God.
Was the time on that. He woke up. Or no.
I don't think he woke up.
He was probably still up.
He doesn't strike me as a guy that gets up at in time to send a tweet at 8:58.
Forgot about this one.
Oh, boy.
December 10th, 2010, 9:14 p.m. in Miami playing Angry Birds in the hotel room. One of them suckers hopped out of me phone and bit my dog Howard right in the ass! ! Too much caffeine! !
Okay,
I mean, you had me in Miami.
Angry Birds is in parentheses. Yeah, might not actually be Angry Birds.
And he at some point said the Angry Bird jumped out of the video game and bit his dog.
His dog Howard, right?
So is he drunk on a beach and a seagull bit his dog? Is that what the actual? Is that what's actually happening in his life at that point?
Who knows?
Josh,
what
have you ever been drunk on a beach and a seagull bit your dog?
No, I have not had that experience personally.
We'll have to ask BT that next week. Maybe he's had that experience. I don't know.
One last one. 7:32 p.m.
We can finish the show on Jim Irsay tweets.
February 17th, 2011. I feel like a lot of these are in February. Just
February 17th? Oh, that's side chick day.
Thank you, Josh.
Hold on. What day is it?
So the 14th is for your main. The 13th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. If we could look back and see what day of the week that fell on to, that's a Saturday, that was definitely a side chick day.
All right.
Okay. All right.
I hope the kids are all taking notes in the car right now.
Free game.
This is from Jim Irsay, maybe celebrating side chick day. Was Otis the drunk really a drunk? ? There are those who say Oxy and Perks!
Oh, my goodness.
He tweets a lot about Oxy and Perks.
Pills, yeah.
Like, more than you'd expect an NFL owner to tweet about those things. Like, you expect, like, more Calvin Dare to never tweet about it?
More than someone who would probably try to claim he doesn't do them would tweet about them, right? I mean, yeah, there's... Look, I mean, I can't remember exactly what he's been busted with from time to time, but I would put a sizable wager that
he's
sampled those from time to time.
He's name-dropped them in tweets. I'll say that.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like we just did Mount Rushmore plus one. Like, you could have a Mount Rushmore plus one of Jim Irsay tweets. That would have been perfect.
Oh, but, that's a nice... Maybe someone else will make an appearance.
I don't know how many you just read off. He's got to have at least five more that you can make it to.
I'll scroll all the way to 2011 because that's where the good stuff appears.
Does he have any tweets about the night Osama bin Laden got killed? Did he talk about Osama being compromised to a permanent end?
Did he scoop John Cena? Is that what you're asking?
I'm hoping, yes. Yeah, John Cena, our greatest American. All right, coming up next on the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. As I mentioned, it's the groundbreaking, award-winning segment, Mount Rushmore Plus One. We'll continue to break new ground for all of sports radio. You're welcome, all of sports radio. That's next, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
You can't keep getting away with it!
This is the Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back into the Bullpen, Houston, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mapes, Andrew Carlson, myself, Brian McDonald, and our man Josh behind the glass. And Andrew, you're welcome for being able to join in on your very first Mount Rushmore Plus One. I know you did a lot of weeks of radio with Joe George. He does a very good job, but Joe doesn't have Mount Rushmore Plus One. Sean and I brought this into the world. It is our child, and we are now willing to share this with you. The phrasing on that, I just realized, very problematic. I didn't like that phrasing after I said it.
I was wondering how far in the birthing imagery you were going to go.
That was very troubling imaging.
We pushed. First it was George Washington's head, then it was Abraham Lincoln.
All right, now you're just taking this, Sean. You're just taking this and running with it far too long.
Well, I, Andrew, even though you haven't done this segment before, I'm sure you can feel the ripples of just the seismic wave that we brought into the sports radio community. Just
truly
the bomb that we dropped on the sports radio community with the groundbreaking Mount Rushmore Plus One. And because it's your first week here on the Sunday show, we will let you go first. What is your Mount Rushmore Plus One for this week, Andrew Carlson?
So before I get into it, you just said the seismic activity, the groundbreaking radio segment. Would you consider yourself the Oppenheimer of sports radio?
That is Sean. He claimed that last week.
I got the hat on. Okay. I'm staring
into the middle
difference. He has
unleashed the fire of the sun onto the sports radio community.
Yes.
Okay. Well, without any further ado, I will give you my first ever Mount Rushmore
Thank
Plus
you.
One. So on the wheelhouse on Friday, if you guys were listening intently, you would have an idea of where I'm headed with this, because someone, I think, texted in and said that this needs to be a topic on Mount Rushmore Plus One on Sunday. So this is actually something that was suggested by a listener who is perhaps listening right now.
Well, I mean, obviously everyone's listening. It's a groundbreaking segment.
Absolutely.
Seismic waves.
Yeah, seismic
Absolutely.
Waves.
So Jake was mentioning biblical figures as NFL players.
Okay.
He said that Moses would be the greatest NFL player of all time, because he could just park the defense you could get a touchdown on every single play.
Okay.
So without any further ado, I think I've said that now twice. Here are my top five, my Mount Rushmore Plus One.
There we go.
Branding.
Biblical figures as NFL players.
I love it.
Okay.
So
Andrew gets the tone of the segment. I like it. Okay.
So at number one, I think we have to go with Moses, right? Like, if Moses truly can bring his sea parting abilities to an NFL football field, can't he do?
Great
right?
leader.
Like, you put him at center, and, you know, we're running for a touchdown every time. He is parting the defense, and there is nothing that can be done about it.
His run block grade on Madden would be obviously
Grinder, 40 days in the desert, 40 days and 40 nights.
He doesn't even have to come out for a water break. He's dealt with that before.
Now, you might be concerned about your plays having to go to the sidelines. You know, if Moses is just parting everything to one side of the field or the other, then, you know, obviously there would be nothing available on the sidelines, but assuming that you can just run up
the plays through a burning bush.
Exactly.
I mean, could other coaches steal the signs if you're talking through a burning bush? I don't think so.
So assuming that Moses' sea parting capabilities can transfer from, you know, the seas to the football field, then we're in a great spot here with him as my top figure on this Mount Rushmore Plus One. Up next, maybe a little bit of an underrated selection, but I'm going with David. You know, he took down the Goliath. He's got a little bit of an arm on him. You know, he had the slingshot. Slice concerns, potentially.
How big are his hands?
Look, he might have Kenny Pickett hands. But you want to talk about a cerebral thinker. David's who I would want behind center, you know, taking the snap. Someone who can really game plan on the field. I think that would be an excellent addition
Drew
to our
Brees comps.
Exactly. You know, I think that he would be an
Field
excellent
General.
Addition. Number three, there's only one way. If we're going with David, we got to go with Goliath, right? Give Goliath a...
Can they coexist on the same team? How's the locker room chemistry?
I think this is more of a big board than a...
Okay. All right, that's fair.
And also, you know, it can be at separate sides of the ball, right?
That's
you know,
true.
We can put
that's
Goliath
true.
At the defensive end, and he'd just be wreaking havoc back there. You think J.J. Watt was a menace on the field? Imagine what Goliath could do at defensive end if he's as big as they said he was in the Bible. Pause. Well, then you could, you know, what he could potentially do, like from a, you know, batting balls down perspective, sort of stuff like that. I think the possibilities are endless. And along the same vein of Goliath, we've got Samson, you know, just a legendary warrior. Now, look.
Just don't cut off his hair.
Yeah.
Troy
Polamalu comes.
Exactly. Troy Polamalu comes. Don't cut off his hair. Someone with legendary strength. Now, look, I'm going to be honest. I'm not super well-versed in the scripture, so I can't go much deeper than what I'm giving you with Samson right here. But after Samson, as my plus one, and maybe I'm a bit of a heretic for saying that this guy's my plus one, but you got to have Jesus on the roster, right? Jesus of Nazareth.
He turns water into wines. He could turn something else into touchdowns.
Yeah, like, Jesus Christ, like, Nazareth.
I don't know what
that's
he would do.
That's the college he would do on this Sunday night football.
Jesus Christ, quarterback, Nazareth.
But only problem, though, is you can't sign him past the age of 33 because
it's short career. Yeah. Yeah, for a good time. Although he will unretire.
Look, the brightest stars burn out the fastest, B-Mac. So.
After 3 days, he's back on the field.
So,
basically what Tom Brady did.
That is my Mount Rushmore plus one.
Well done, Andrew. That was an excellent first voyage into the Mount Rushmore plus one. Because I already actually know what Sean's is, because it was a topic last week, I'm going to save yours for last, Sean, because I feel it's the main event. So I'm finally going to pay off on my three-week tease I gave you a few weeks ago. The ESPN Radio 97.5 personalities I'd least want to rob a bank with. Now I have the people I'd most want to rob a bank with here at ESPN Radio, producer or a host. Number one on the list, it's Granato. I mean, yeah. I just assume he's got mob ties, right? I mean, yeah. I think he's got some people that have robbed the bank before on his Rolodex.
He can get the guards to look the other way. Yeah, however he does it, that's how he does it.
He brings in a Coors Light, tells them forget about it. They're not going to pay attention to me. So I think Granato's going to be on the list. Number two on the list, I was actually going to have someone that was on the wheelhouse who's no longer on the wheelhouse as my muscle. So I will substitute Andrew Carlson as my muscle in replacement of the guy that was here before. Yes.
You could have just said I was the muscle.
No, it'd be funnier to call you the substitute. So Andrew Carlson is on my team as the muscle while Granato is distracting the guards. Number three on my Mount Rushmore plus one of 97.5 personalities I most run rob a bank with, Jeremy Branham. I feel like Jeremy Branham comes up with extreme out there takes, and I feel like he kind of like if you're playing GTA and you're talking with Lester and he's got this great plan to pull off this heist, I think Jeremy could come up with a really out there plan.
Very Mission Impossible.
Yes. It'd at least be fun. It might not work, but it'd at least be fun. Next on the list, and this is going to surprise you a little bit, someone else from the wheelhouse, and I'm taking him because I think he'd be unassuming. That'd be Jake Asman. If Jake Asman walks to the bank, no one's looking at him as a physical threat.
Harmless little white guy.
Yeah, I love you, Jake, but no one's taking you as a physical threat. I think he could go in and keep things calm because people aren't going to look at him and assume he's about to, you know, rob them. So, and last one on the list, I need more muscle, and I need someone that could go down and take the rap because he's famous and he would catch all the headlines. Andrew and I aren't catching the headlines if Booker T's on the crew. If we get caught robbing the bank, the headlines are Booker T robs the bank. It's not Brian McDonald. It's not Andrew Carlson. He's a six-time champion. I think he could pull it off. If he goes in there and hits the spinner Rooney, people are going to be watching the spinner Rooney. They're not going to watch me steal the loot out of the vault. So Booker T is my last member of the steal a bank squad here from ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
Great pick.
Thank you.
Great crew, honestly. Yeah.
Any qualms there, Sean?
Branham, little head scratching.
Yeah, Branham was. Yeah, I had to reach a little bit for Branham, but
don't need me. That's a little head scratching.
I felt you were too enthusiastic about it. Like, like when I brought it up a couple weeks ago, you were so pro bank robbing. It's like I don't know. Like, plus you've been hanging around with Paul might pop a guy. That's why he was on my list of people I wouldn't rob a bank with.
Yeah.
And I feel like you've been hanging out with
man.
Paul.
He was looking
at me. Exactly.
I don't like the fact that there's no producers on that list. Well, besides Andrew. But you know, Andrew's kind of like trying out for the third wheelhouse co-host. So I don't know if he's going to be producer for too long.
All right, okay, you're going to take shots, Josh. What's your list? What's your Mount Rushmore plus one this week?
So, similar theme. My Mount Rushmore plus one is modern day athletes that I would not want to help me in a fight.
Okay.
So,
I like it.
I'm going to be counting down basically backwards. So at number five, Ja Morant. Is it real? Is it not real? Are we getting arrested? I don't know.
You don't want to take it from a misdemeanor to a felony.
He can certainly make your charge aggravated.
Yeah, exactly.
Number four, Anthony Davis. I saw that boxing video. Not a good look. Not to mention.
Unless he get hurt.
I was about to say, not to mention. I'm not sure how long he'll last in a fight. Number three, I don't know. I think it's because I just don't like his wife. Patrick Mahomes, I don't know. I just felt like he belonged on a list somewhere.
I don't know. He starts with that Kermit voice.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, I'm here.
Break it up, guys. Break it up.
I'm here. Like, he'll just aggravate everyone else to punch him. I don't know. And number two, I'm sorry for the Miami Dolphins quarterback, but Tua.
One punch, he's down.
That's all I can say. Tua.
He's been taking karate lessons, man. He's ready to roll.
He knows how to fall.
He's learned how to fall, and maybe he learned how to fight, too.
I highly doubt that. We'll see. And number one, when you need him the most, he'll disappear with a fat suit. James Harden.
My man.
That's a good list. I wouldn't want any of those guys to help me in a fight. All right, main event time. Sean, I've been waiting for this all week. Andrew has no idea what's about to happen, and I can't wait to see his reaction. Your Mount Rushmore plus one is?
The Mount Rushmore plus one of strokes. We had some stroke talk late in the show last week.
So this is what you guys do on Sunday, huh? Lord's Day.
The Lord's Day.
Yeah, there was stroke talk for a moment last.
And I decided.
I dared Sean to make it as Mount Rushmore plus one.
Oh, my God.
And he came through in the clutch.
First up, the final stroke. In golf, when you're tapping in for birdie, head to the clubhouse.
When you're tapping in, I got you. I'm listening.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about. Ernie Els, man. I don't know. First golfer.
He's a golfer, probably.
Next up, the backstroke.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like to relax?
Leisurely. We'll do that in the Sea of Tranquility coming up next segment.
Next, different strokes. Specifically, the kind that are for different folks.
Yes, sir!
Also, what you talking about, Willis?
There you go. Yes.
Next up on the Mount Rushmore plus one of strokes.
This is incredible.
Cross hatching brush strokes while you're painting.
Hold on. Run that back to me, Sean, one more time.
Cross hatching brush strokes. It's a painting technique.
Okay. Has someone been watching Bob Ross recently? What's going on here?
It's spacing between lines can be varied depending on what the effect it can use to model form, build up areas of light and shade, and create lovely and lively color mixture.
I feel like we just got to look into Sean's Google search history from this week.
From this morning. When I had to come up with more strokes. Last stroke. Had to do it. Vinegar.
There we go. That does it. Mount Rushmore plus one. Drop the mic, Sean. Well done. We got to get some break. I don't even know how to toss the break off of that. Vinegar strokes, your top stroke. ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. When we get back, we'll give you our worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
ESPN 97.5.com. You need to learn.
Let the boy watch. He needs to learn the way I learned from my father.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, you're back inside the bullpen with the producers from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Wait, who let those guys up here?
Security!
That's them right there. Right there.
I don't know if BT would play that rejoin. I'm just saying. We'll find out next week.
You guys don't like that one, Josh?
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like we're getting called out by Spencer. Like, we shouldn't be here. Like, it seems like he would report that before he heard Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Yeah,
I don't feel like he would treat us that way had he heard Mount Rushmore Plus One.
I might write some scripts from Spencer Tillman later today.
Top five Spencer rejoins. Yes, maybe that could be a Mount Rushmore Plus One. Welcome back into the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. It's the producers here of ESPN Radio. Andrew Carlson, Sean Mapes, Brian McDonald, our man Josh behind the glass. We got to get into the worst people in sports this week. I had audio with mine, but we're a little bit behind after that amazing Mount Rushmore plus one. So I'll skip my audio and just say my worst person from sports this week, and I'll move on. The Texas Rangers broadcast team. You guys suck.
Yep. We've heard the clips, seen them on X. They are not...
apparently blind to see that Kyle Tucker's foot did hit the
plate. They're just whiny.
Whiny brats.
Mine's also comes from the Rangers series, but this one, not just the Rangers. Everyone involved in the Brinches clearing, not a brawl.
Baseball
on
fights
Wednesday.
Are the worst. Like most baseball, look, when, quote unquote fights.
When the bench is clear, you know, it's like the opposite from the baseball that we knew when we grew up.
Back in my day.
Yeah, back in my Sean's day.
Yeah, back in my day. When the bench is cleared, you got excited because, I don't know, something's going to happen.
Yeah, now, Pedro Martinez once threw an old man on the ground.
Now you know nothing is going to happen.
No,
now
they're just
gonna, yeah, Jose Altuve and Aroldis Chapman are going to yuck it up about how they killed the Yankees, and then that's it. That you just know, like, well, I'm not going to be able to watch baseball for the next 15 minutes as they get out, yell at each other, then go back, and then there has to be a review to who we kick out.
They stand in a line, like, separating each other. It's
yeah,
just
who cares?
Stupid.
Worst. You ruin brawls in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, they should at least put a Hell in a Cell out there, maybe. I'm going to try to work wrestling into this one
what
way
you
or another.
Into?
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
My worst person of the week, and maybe this is a little unfair to him, is Saquon Barkley, because we had... Over the weekend, you know, the Zoom call, we're trying to unionize the running backs to fight the big, bad NFL. And all it took for you to, you know, break up and end this whole idea of all the running backs are standing together because we're fighting for running back kind was an extra $900,000 over the franchise tag. Now, look, maybe this is... rude of me to say because I would absolutely take an extra $900,000.
Man, the people Andrew Carlson like sneezing over $900,000.
That's like less than a 10% raise for him.
But exactly, like we're talking about like comparatively speaking, versus what you would have gotten the franchise tag versus what you've got now is an incentive based extra $900K is all it took for you to say, hey, you know what? Screw all my running back buddies. Like
he's
you know what? We're done.
You calling him Scab? You calling
scab?
Him a Scab?
Yes.
Scab Barkley.
Yes. Scab Quan Barkley?
Yes, I am calling him a Scab.
Scab. Squab. I can't even say
Sweat,
it. Scab Quan Barkley. We got it. All right, Josh, your worst person in sports this week.
If you think I'm going a week without talking about either Damian Lillard or Paul Pierce, you made a mistake. My worst person in this week goes to the NBA. You informed Damian Lillard and his agent that he could face, quote, discipline if he continues to tell teams that he only wants to go to the Miami Heat. Really? Why is Damian Lillard the only exception? Not Kevin Durant, not James Harden. James Harden must have the best PR team ever.
Well, we know that's not true. His PR team has not done him any favors.
I guess they're better than Dame.
Or clearly they're better than Dame's. But, yeah, that's my worst person in this week.
It feels
the NBA.
Like we've been going week by week in this saga with Dame Lillard and Josh.
That's our update.
Like,
we didn't even do a segment on
it. It was his best thing from sports like a month ago, and now it's his worst. It's really taken a turn here. All right. We're done with the anger sharks. Time to doggy paddle over to the Sea of Tranquility. Andrew, you're hearing that line for the first time. I'm not even going to look his way. He's probably judging me. My thing I love from sports this week is Hardo Football Guy season is here. Let's hear this audio from some guy named Biff Pogel. I didn't know who he was before this.
Star Wars-ass name.
It's a very awesome name. Got super upset that the media only had three questions for him.
Any other questions for Coach? That's it? Three questions? Maybe that's because you have us ranked last. That's all what you think of us. So we get that message. Thank you.
Pounding the table.
Damn.
Pounding the table at the end. Biff no one believes Pogey. In us, Sean.
Biff Pogey.
Yeah.
Great name. Also, seems like he'd be at the Star Wars cantina.
Seems like he'd be a villain in Back to the Future.
Well, that's just Biff.
Yeah, exactly. Is this Biff grown up? Is this one of the alternate realities that they did? I don't know. But
he becomes a football coach for Charlotte University?
Yeah. What are they, the 49ers? Was there a gold rush in Charlotte? Why are they the 49ers? I don't know. I'll have to Google that after the show. Sean, what is the thing you love from sports this week?
Thing I love most from sports this weekend, Texas offensive lineman Jake Majors is the newest Longhorn to ink a deal with Lamborghini Austin. How about that? The center of the Texas Longhorn.
Not just Bijan getting these deals anymore.
Nope. I don't know how exactly he fits his 6'3", 315-pound ass into a Lamborghini, but he does it somehow. Congratulations,
I'm sure he looks
Jake
great
Majors.
Doing it.
Yes.
Hook him.
He barely fits in the promo picture.
I'm between two Longhorns right now, aren't I?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a fun place to be.
That's all right. We've had, who was the, I'm forgetting his name. We've had other people in here that were Cougars, so in between us. And it went all right. Well, I think we'll be fine until they play. Was it, what week did they play? I don't even remember. Sometime
it's
in October. It doesn't
matter. Fifth week of the season, I think.
Texas by 30. It doesn't matter. Andrew, what is your best thing from sports this week?
It'll be 25, BMAC. And secondly, my worst thing of the week is, best thing.
Doggy paddle.
Doggy paddle. Right. My apologies. First week, getting used to everything. The fun of the Major League Baseball trade deadline, and especially the delusion that it inspires with each and every fan base. Like, you know what? We're going to trade our 30th and 40th best prospect, and you know what? We're going to get a superstar in return.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that's what the essence of the trade deadline is really all about. And I just enjoy seeing those takes on Twitter.
Pedro Leon plus a guy you've never heard of equals Max Scherzer. That's what we think about at the trade deadline. Josh, quickly, before we end the show, what did you love from sports this week?
Mamba mentality. USA Baseball sets record in 43-1 win versus New Zealand in the Under-12 Baseball World Cup. I love the fact that there was no mercy
43-1?
43-1.
Wow.
Go New home
Zealand.
Crying.
I didn't know New Zealand played baseball. Yeah.
Pinto was out there pitching for New Zealand.
Nice callback, Sean. Let's end the show on that amazing callback. All right, that'll do it for the bullpen this week. For Sean Manx, for Andrew Carlson, for Josh Behind the Glass, I'm Brian McDonald. We'll be back here on the bullpen next Sunday, 10 to noon. Be good, Houston. Have a great week. We'll see you next.
ESPN 97.5.com, Tiger Friendly Radio.
And he said, well, obviously you want to watch the guy with the big one. I said, well, you ain't that straight.